I've got a cool opportunity how you can start making serious money. Drive with Uber. You know, Uber, the popular smartphone app that connects riders with drivers. This is Bart Shore, and I use Uber all the time. Love them. And you'll love being your own boss when you drive with Uber. It's great for parents, teachers, students, anyone who needs flexibility, working when you want. You just need a car and a license to get started. Then you'll thank me for telling you how to get paid every week. Sign up to Drive with Uber today. Visit drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com.
Real-Time Sports in Elk Grove Village is your spot for all the playoff action, featuring over 50 TVs and large screens, plus daily food and drink specials. It's the place for the action. For more info, visit realtimesportsbar.com.
The city is yours to navigate. Do it luxuriously in a Jaguar from Howard Orloff Jaguar. For over 55 years, Howard Orloff Jaguar has been proudly serving Chicagoland with one of the largest selections of Jaguar models. Come in now during our 2015 model year and sales event and take advantage of outstanding pricing, finance, and lease programs on our entire inventory. When it comes to Jaguar in Chicagoland, no one compares to Howard Orloff Jaguar, just off the Kennedy at Armitage or at howardorloffjaguar.com.
Don't miss our wall-to-wall coverage of Bears training camp. Starting Wednesday, a new coaching staff, a new front office, and an infusion of new players. Trust us to cover it all on Chicago's home for Bears fans. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WJMK HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
2 o'clock, and from the Score Update studios, I'm Matt Rodewald with a scoreboard update. The trade talk all the rage with about a week to go before the deadline. The White Sox made a minor move. Connor Gillespie going to the Angels for cash. He was designated for assignment last Sunday. Jose Quintana will be on the bump tonight for the White Sox as they go for two in a row in Cleveland. Corey Kluber on the hill for the Indians. In the meantime, the Cubs will be at home this afternoon against the Phillies, starting a weekend series, a 3:05 start this afternoon. Kyle Schwarber will not start today. It'll be David Ross going back to catch for John Lester. Jerome Williams on the hill for Philly. Not very good with a 6.43 ERA coming in. One other baseball note, Zach Greinke placed on paternity leave by the Dodgers today, and so that means he'll be out for the weekend. NFL news, Bears fans need a linebacker. Saints released Junior Gallette today. He had 22 sacks the last 2 years. However, he's been embroiled by domestic abuse issues. And an NIU football player was caught driving drunk at 93 miles an hour. WTVO in Rockford reporting 19-year-old Skylar Monahan arrested in Genoa last night. Also tried to use a fake ID. He appeared in 11 games, making a total of 2 tackles for the Huskies last year. And hockey, a new deal keeps the Arizona Coyotes in Glendale for 2 more years. They nearly picked up and moved to Las Vegas last month. Scoreboard update brought to you by the Robert Morris University Illinois Graduate School. Accelerate an MBA at RMU. And this week at Whole Foods Market, save on quality produce items like Sweet Right cantaloupes. Now 2 for $6. Visit any Whole Food Market at 24 Chicagoland locations. Whole Foods Market, America's healthiest grocery store. I'm Matt Rodewald, and you're listening to the radio home for White Sox baseball. Next game on the Score tonight, 5:30, when the White Sox take on the Indians on Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
This hour brought to you by LKQ. Pick your part. Bring your tools. Pick your part.
Everybody I know here is dead.
Steve Stone.
Grilled pork chop sandwich, and it's sure to be an inside the pork home run.
Did you take your medicine today or not?
No, I'm fresh out.
Chicago White Sox television analyst.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Want to go with me?
No. Cy Young Award winner.
I really had no talent whatsoever at most anything, except I could play a little baseball.
670 The Score's Baseball Insider.
Of course, they didn't have Asian pitchers back in those days here, but they had guys with some unusual motions.
They had them, but they were in Japan.
Yeah. Steve Stone.
There's only 2 other center fielders that I can think of that could cover as much ground in center field as Gomez. Maybe one of them could cover more. First one's Mickey Mantle. The next one's Willie Wilson.
You might want to drop Willie Mays under there also.
Well, Steve Stone with Boers and Bernstein on 670 The Score.
Steve Stone of The Score being brought to you by Schneider Trucking. Schneider hiring truck drivers now at SchneiderJobs.com. grossinger.com.
And Steve joins us on the Grossinger Lincolnwood Hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com. Well, if Larry King is to be believed, and this is, I think, the first time I've ever started our Steve Stone segment with that particular phrase.
You start everyone that way.
If he is, that something is brewing on the trade front between the Dodgers and the White Sox. Do you know anything about that?
No, it wouldn't surprise me. One of the things that the Dodgers truly need, as you probably know, is a guy who can pitch the third game of the playoffs. Obviously, they're top two, and they could be historically good if you're looking at Kershaw and Greinke. And then they're looking for people behind them to line up as potential playoff pitchers in the three or the fourth spot. I think they probably would prefer number three. And if you're looking at Cole Hamels as the guy, he comes with a huge price tag, and also he comes from a general manager who probably has to make the deal of his life, seemingly to save his job, although I think for Ruben Amaro it's going to be problematic with Andy McPhail there. But I think that there's probably some interest in other places, and I guess they're gauging the price of Johnny Cueto against the price of Jeff Samardzija, probably thinking that Jeff Samardzija would cost them a little less in prospects, you know. You're probably not going to get their two guys that are the cream of the crop for them. Other than that, the Dodgers have a wealth of talent in that organization.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, because that to me, Sonny, that's exactly what Samardzija is. He's the ideal number three starter on a really good team. I mean, we were talking about that before you came in this line that that's perfect. Right behind those two guys, you start Jeff Samardzija, and Cueto's been hurt this year. I don't know exactly what his deal is, but he's been bugged by a lot of things, just life, I think, in time it bugs him a lot. But he's been bothered by this and bothered by that. Where Samardzija seems pretty healthy and threw the ball well last night. I mean, but as a third starter, perfect.
I think Jeff is getting better and better with each and every performance, and right now, when you look at his consecutive streak of going at least seven innings and throwing, you know, around or in the neighborhood or in excess of 100 pitches, you realize that he's exactly what the Dodgers would need. He's a bullpen saver. You already have two at the top in Kershaw and Greinke. Greinke's not giving up anything, although he's going to miss a start, apparently, with the birth of a child. But Kershaw's been magnificent. He just keeps getting better. And I think if you're looking for a fit, I agree with you with Cueto. I mean, I've seen him at times not look like the dominating guy that he's been. Stuff-wise, I don't think it's quite the same, but he has such a good changeup, and he's got, you know, really good stuff. It's just that it seems to be a little bit something off. And, you know, with a high price tag with Cincinnati, to me, Jeff Samardzija, the way he's throwing and knowing that he's going to take the baseball each and every time out, to me, that would be ideal. Now, that being said, he's done a great job over here, and I'm sure that we talked about this before, that Rick has a plan A, a plan B, and perhaps a plan C, depending on what happens with the ball club. But Samardzija could not have had his value where he is right now, you know, with only a two-plus month rental. He couldn't have his value any higher than after this really successful run that he's had.
And one of the scenarios, and it's a highly unlikely one, but as soon as I heard the name Yasiel Puig as somebody the Dodgers would be willing to move, you know, the gears in your head start turning and you start coming up with, you know, possibilities and thoughts. And this White Sox team has always been a very friendly place for former Cuban stars. And I'm just wondering, at first blush, like right now, even though he's been struggling, when you hear the name of somebody who's that dynamic, that electric a player, would the Dodgers really, are they really sick of him, I guess?
I don't know exactly what the Dodgers' view of Puig is. I do know that he is a supremely talented guy. And we have a guy on our ball club who is at the other end of the spectrum as far as Cuban players are concerned, and that's Jose Abreu. I mean, he, since the time he put on a White Sox uniform, since the time he became a major league player, he's professional. He works very hard. He's very serious about his craft, trying to make himself as good as he can possibly be. And I think he had a very positive influence last year on Alexi Ramirez. As far as this year is concerned, I'm not sure which Alexi was there for the first 3 months of the season, but the last couple of weeks, Alexi is playing like he played last year. And perhaps he had something on his mind that has since cleared up. I'm not sure exactly, but I do know that a Cuban player couldn't help but viewing Jose Abreu as what he would aspire to if he had a chance. Puig is still young enough and probably talented enough where you would look at him and say, yeah, if you could acquire him in a trade, I don't know if that would necessarily have to be Jeff Samardzija and somebody else. But, yeah, Puig certainly would be interesting to me. The sky is the limit as far as his ability. I think he's probably going to have some leg problems throughout his career. He's still a very big man who runs very fast, and he's very tight. If you take a look at his body, he's got that type of musculature that would probably lead to some hamstring problems unless he got with this strength and conditioning group that we have with Herm Schneider and Alan Thomas and all of those guys that really know what they're doing. Perhaps they could stretch him out. I think they probably could, and eliminate some of the problems that he's been going through. But I know those guys are pretty good in Los Angeles, too.
Does it scare you? Just continuing on him for a second, Stoney. Does it scare you that, I mean, for whatever it is, you know, it's not on the field stuff. There's something that bothers the Dodgers. There's something clearly that bothers them. Does that, I don't know if that translates to the next team. We've seen it happen where it sort of does. Now we've seen other instances where the guy all of a sudden becomes, perfect when he gets traded.
Well, perhaps the distractions in Los Angeles and the proximity of certain places to the ballpark and availability to the Dodger players might be something that would be eliminated coming to Chicago. I don't know, but I think it's a question, and I think it's been a question with him, of although he's very smart, I don't think people understand how smart Puig is. He is a very smart guy, as is Abreu. But Puig didn't have the benefit of being as mature emotionally as Abreu does. And so maybe it'll take him some time. I mean, he's still young enough where if there is some ceiling left, and there's probably a whole lot of it at his age, maybe going and getting a change of scenery, being with a new club that, as you guys said, and justifiably so, has been very friendly to not only Cuban players, but all kind of Latino players and players coming over from the Pacific Rim. I mean, this has been a place that embraces those players and probably is conducive as any to excelling here. And, you know, that would be a guy that I'm pretty sure that would get Rick Hahn's attention.
Yeah, it's just, it's really, I'm thinking about just listening to you, that it really, at this point, we're a week away from the deadline, it's really kind of sad that the White Sox season, we know it's come to this, but this is where we're at now. And it just, I think for White Sox fans and everybody else, this thing has just been, I don't know if it's the most disappointing season it's been in a while, but it's up there, given the expectations and everything else we had. I don't think, Stoney, we ever thought we'd be having this conversation on July 24th.
No, and I think one of the frustrating parts about it is if you take a look at last night's game was played the way Rick Hahn envisioned this team playing when he put it together in November and December. He envisioned a really good starting staff, and we've seen that. That's been pretty good. He envisioned a better bullpen, and we've seen that. That's been pretty good. He envisioned a team that was going to hit some home runs